Good morning. Glad you could tune in. We continue our series in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Just want to mention that during the week we've got stuff going on here, and we are studying the book of John Tuesday mornings, 10 o'clock. You don't have to be a senior citizen to show up there. We sometimes have some folks that are younger than I am there. I'll just say that. But that's good. And also on Wednesday evenings, 6:30, we've been watching The Chosen Season 2. Just show up. We'd love to have you enjoy some popcorn. Have you ever thought about the difference between temptation versus being tested or being tried or going through a trial? They're really quite different. One is authored by the evil one. And the goal of temptation is to put separation between us and God. He is separated from God, has been for a long, long time, and he wants that same separation for us. His goal is to kill, steal, and destroy, and the mode that he uses is temptation. Now, one of the things that I've noted is that when the evil one tempts us, first he says, hey, why don't you do this? He tries to entice us, make something look good, and then when we do it, should we fall into temptation, then he immediately condemns us for doing it. You ever put that together? That is one bad dude. Now, the other side of this equation is testings and trials. They're allowed by God. I'm not saying that God authors them, but life is filled with difficult situations. God's goal is that we would be strengthened as we go through different testing. Warren Wiersbe, and I want to give him a shout out, his book on Daniel, Be Resolute. He talks about, you know, you've got the real faith and kind of the fake faith. Fake faith falls apart as soon as it's tested. But real faith is strengthened by going through testing. The other thing is that through testing and trial, we have the opportunity to draw closer to our Savior, closer to our Lord. We can become closer with Jesus, more intimately connected. And the final area, and I'm sure there's more blessings than this too, is that God wants to bring us freedom, that as we go through difficulty, that he wants to bring us freedom, and through that, give us more and more of an eternal perspective. We live in a temporal world. We forget it a lot of times. We just get caught up. But testings and trials help to clarify that for us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak through your word today. I believe that you have a good word for every person who hears this, wherever, whenever. I pray that your word would not return to you void. I pray it in Jesus' name for his kingdom's sake. Amen.
Build my house, whether storm or drought, on the rock that does not move. I will set my hope in your love, O Lord, and your faithfulness will prove. You are steadfast. By the word you spoke, all the starry hosts are called out by name each night. In your watchful care, I will rest secure as you lead us with your light. You are steadfast. You are.
I think that we as followers of Jesus, or people who aren't, but look at other people who follow Jesus, would think, hey, if you're going to be a friend of Jesus, you're going to have an easy life. There is nothing in Scripture that indicates that. There's this whole concept, too, I think, that, oh, well, God's just going to, you know, give us some happiness if we're following Jesus, which means our circumstances are all going to be good. There's nothing in Scripture that indicates that. As a matter of fact, I would dare to say it says something almost the opposite of that. So, yeah, walking closely with Jesus, we don't clep out of difficulty nor suffering. God's people are often severely tested. I can think of famous people, I can think of pastors, I can think of people locally, people that I know. Some of the testings and trials that people go through, it's like, wow, that is really difficult. That is something I would not want to walk through. And yet at the same time, I can look at my own life and say, you know what? I came through some things that I never thought that I would, but God gave the grace to get me through. The key when we go through difficulty is the grace of God. Do we grab a hold of the grace of God when things are at their worst? Because when we go through these difficult seasons, we're going to come out the other side. It's just change one letter. We'll either come out bitter or we'll come out better. So when we go through difficulty, look for Jesus. Look for the grace of God. So are you and your faith being tested right now? If so, right now, you're watching. You can pause me. You can put the preacher on pause and just say, you know what? I need to pray right now because this really speaks to me. I am in the midst of something I never thought I would be. And I don't know that I'm dealing with it the best. Ask for the grace of God. Ask God to influence you in the midst of this. I wish we could just change our circumstances. We rarely can do something with our circumstances, but we can adjust our attitude and our perspective and ask for God's help with that. Let's take a look at 1 Peter. I think that Peter was thinking about the book of Daniel when he wrote his first letter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, so right off the bat, here's what he has to say. 1 Peter 1, 7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. One day, Jesus is going to be revealed to the whole world. And your faithfulness in the time of difficulty and even suffering is going to bring glory and honor to Christ, but it's also going to exalt you in that hour. Peter also says in chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. Fiery trials. Well, Daniel chapter 3 talks about a fiery furnace. We're going to get there. But that's why I say, I think that Daniel, or that Peter was thinking about Daniel. But Peter says, don't be surprised. Why? Because Christians go through difficult times. Do not be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when he is revealed to all the world. Very counterintuitive, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk through trials and keep our eyes on him. So let's take a look at Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So he'd had this dream where he had the head of gold. Well, then he just decides, well, I'm just going to make a 90-foot gold statue. Had to cost a little bit of coin. I doubt that it was solid gold. It was probably gold-plated. But regardless, this is significant. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue that he'd set up. In other words, everybody who was anybody had to be there. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Well, this is blatant pagan idolatry. You don't bow down to man-made things. We know that this was something that was made. Nebuchadnezzar made it. Now, I doubt that he was the workman, but he had people that would do it. What use is it as human beings to worship something that we have made? It's something less than us. That's the foolishness of idolatry. Now, I know that some of the things that we as human beings have made are pretty complicated and pretty intricate, like even our cell phones. You know, they have more technology in the palm of our hand than it took to get to the moon. But we shouldn't worship it. We need to be very careful with things like that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've met them before in this book. We're going to get to know them a little bit better. They knew that this was the kind of idolatry that destroyed Israel from within. Think about that. They know the reason that they are in captivity, that they are in exile from Jerusalem, is because of the covenant that they had with God and because it was violated by worshiping idols. So, can you imagine if we were to say to people, attend church or you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace? If we had the ability to pull that off, had the authority to do that, it would improve church attendance. That would be conformity. I don't think it would be transformational. I don't think it's really a good way to do things. But you know what? Totalitarianism, that's what that is. You take a look at history, it's been around. And it's happening in the world in different ways today, and it will happen again on planet Earth. In the 20th century, there were a lot of entities that were using it on all sides of the globe. It's a popular approach. I'm not saying it's a good one, but it's been around for a long time. So let's take a look at verse 8. We're going to skip over a few verses. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king." You always know they're trying to pull something over when they come in, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace." So they're setting the stage. They're trying to get somebody here. Verse 12, "But there are some Jews," Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in case you were wondering, "whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty." We do, but they don't. "They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." So I looked up the word weasel in the Bible because these guys are weasels. And I was wondering, is the word weasel in there? And do you know? It is. You can find it in Leviticus 11:29. And the Jewish people were not to eat weasel meat because weasels were unclean. Yeah, definitely unclean. So, yeah, there's a lot that's going on here. A lot that's going on here. So, you would think that these people, all these officials who want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego killed, you think they would have been appreciative of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because if you go back to last chapter, it was through them that the dream was interpreted and all the wise men got to live and nobody got killed. But you know what? When there's corrupt politics, it doesn't matter if you really help somebody out. Haters gonna hate. And these folks were hating on Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now someone might be asking, well, where's Daniel? And that's been a great question that's been asked for a long time. Was he on special assignment? I would just say this. I don't believe Daniel was there because we know that Daniel would not have bowed down before this statue. Where was he? We're not exactly sure. Where do you draw the line, folks? When it comes to idolatry, and some of you are like, preacher, I don't have a 90-foot gold statue in my backyard. I get that. But can't you just go along with the flow sometimes, right? Just kind of conform. There's an old song by Steve Camp. I think it was called Squeeze. Don't you know the world will tease you? Don't you know the world will squeeze you into its mold? We are constantly being tempted to just go with the flow. Oh, don't make a big deal. Verse 13, pick up, continue with this. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. So he wants to see him. Did you catch that? He flew into a rage. We heard this before, where he went into a rage. And we said he had some anger issues. I think he might have more than that. So they were brought in. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power?" Okay, interesting. He goes from this rage to being kind of reasonable. It's like, "I know, I said, if you do it once, you're dead. But I like you guys. I'm going to be reasonable, so I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you a chance to repent, change your ways." I used to have this business associate. I don't deal with this person anymore, and I'm glad. Because there were times, and Heidi and I both had dealings with this person, that completely, totally, nice as can be, and literally in the next hour, threatening a lawsuit. It's like, wait a minute, which one is it? And it took me a while to put it together that I think he genuinely suffered from PTSD. There are people that do. And the only way I could explain some of his behavior was that he was kind of like here, and then he was there. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't need to diagnose him. But sometimes we need to be aware that people are like this. Dealing with Nebuchadnezzar had to be a trip. How many of us would have reconsidered? I mean, what do you think? You know, Meshach's just like, "Come on, boys, you know, we don't want to disrespect and humiliate the king. And, you know, we can still make our sacrifices to Jehovah, and we can serve, we can have both, right?" I mean, he's being reasonable. We don't want to like spit in his face or anything like that. He's being reasonable right now. I wonder what I would do in that situation. I mean, it's life and death. It's either you live or you die. It would seem reasonable, wouldn't it? Yeah. So I know that we don't have the 90-foot statue, but what are the idols of our age? Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, these things are idols. I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but you know, when a new one comes out, people get in line and wait for hours. I don't know. People probably wait overnight. The last thing I ever want is a new cell phone, because I don't want to have to reprogram my brain to learn how to use it. But none of us are immune to being tempted to worship the idols of our age. And the big three, they fall under three categories: money, sex, and power. If we do our own thing with those three things, those three areas. But then sometimes we take, okay, but we can do that and have Jesus as well. And Jesus is merciful. And that's true. He is. But we dare not think that we can worship the idols of our age and it doesn't conflict with following Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that in their day. We must know that in ours. Following Jesus, the gift of salvation is completely free, but it comes with a price tag. One of the things I enjoy about watching The Chosen is it puts into terms that I can understand kind of the sacrifices and the struggles that first century followers of Jesus had that are really no different than ours. Most of us are familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. It appears in Mark's Gospel in the 10th chapter. And afterwards, when he goes away sad, and it says that his face fell. If you've listened to me preach in the last couple of years, you know that I believe that Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, goes by John Mark. I believe he was the rich young ruler. I don't have time to go into all the reasons why I believe that. But I believe he was the rich young ruler because he has a lot of details, like his face fell. Well, who else would notice that, or how would you know that unless it was you? And so I believe that John Mark walked away from Jesus, and Jesus didn't run after him. Folks, the invitation to follow Jesus is a grace. It's an invitation of a lifetime. But how many of us have said, I just want Jesus as my Savior? We might not say it here, but it's like, I want him to save me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be forgiven, but I also want to do my own thing. That doesn't really work that way. But Peter says, after the rich young ruler has walked away, he's like, hey, didn't we sacrifice a ton to follow you? There are things that we walk away from when we follow Jesus. I want to open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew is a person who walked away from a lot. He walked away from a lot of tax income. So Matthew records this, that another of his disciples said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. Seems reasonable, but Jesus told him, follow me now and let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Now, I've heard people say, that's really kind of harsh, don't you think? I mean, I thought Jesus would be more loving. Or as some, I got this from William Barclay doing the John study, that there are certain things in the old covenant that seem kind of harsh. And this one girl said, well, that's because that was before God was a Christian. It's kind of like, well, I don't think that's the best theology, but I understand what she's getting at. We're going to open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. See, we go back to 1 Kings 19. It's at this point that Elijah is going to be passing the mantle to Elisha. And Elisha stalls a little bit. So let's take a look. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. It says this. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. And what does Elijah say? Go on back, but think about what I have done to you. He doesn't say no. Okay, why do I bring that up? Every Jew that heard Jesus say to this man, don't go home, let the dead bury their own dead, knew that there was a reference to Elijah. What Jesus was saying is, someone greater than Elijah is standing before you. Follow me. Don't be looking backwards. And that would go to us today. I know we don't have a physical Jesus that we're following, and it's not that we can't love our parents and all of those things. That's not what's at issue. But do we understand who Jesus really is? It's foolishness to take him as Savior and then not take him as Lord. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got on social media, just like Daniel did before, complained and, you know, hashtag unfair, king stinks, you know, all this different stuff. No, that's not what they did. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. And do you know what else? We don't need to defend God. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. Wow. You do what you got to do, we'll do what we got to do. We're not trying to influence you, but you cannot change our minds on this. They were not being reasonable. Keith Green had an album entitled No Compromise. This goes back late 70s. And it was probably inspired by this. And I don't remember the exact picture, if there was multiple people. But it shows all these people bowing down, apparently in front of an idol. And there's one person who's just standing there, just gently, not strident or anything, just standing there. And you see the look of another person just like fearful, like, get down, don't you understand? Well, that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, you do what you got to do. We'll do what we've got to do. And if God delivers us, sweet. And if not, it's been nice knowing you. They were not disrespectful in any way. Once again, I want to turn to Peter's first epistle. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 15, here's what it says. You must worship Christ as Lord of your life, not just Savior, Lord. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle, respectful way. That's what they were doing. They were not being disrespectful. They called him Your Majesty. They said, we understand what you've got to do, but this is what we need to do. When we talk to people, even though they might be ready to kill us, it doesn't mean that we don't have to address them with kindness and with respect. They were saying, come hell, come high water, come fiery furnace, we will serve the Lord. We will not compromise. There is no compromise. Win, lose, or draw. They weren't concerned about the results. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as like the hall of fame, so to speak, of the heroes of faith. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, it's very interesting. If you kind of read between the lines just a little bit, we'll pick up with verse 33. In Hebrews 11:33, it says, and it lists all these other people. And I don't have time, but you can imagine. Big names in the Old Covenant, they're here. Verse 33, by faith these people overthrew kingdoms. That's cool. Ruled with justice. That's awesome. And received what God had promised them. They shut the mouth of lions. Huh. Wonder who that's referring to. We got to wait a little bit for that. Quenched the flames of fire. Wonder who that's talking about. And escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And skipping just ahead a little bit, but others. See, these are the people that escaped. There's a lot of people that didn't. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God is totally capable of saving us, and we believe he will. But if he doesn't, this isn't about results. This isn't about, can you make us a better offer? We're going with God, come hell or high water. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning, some were sawed in half, others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. See, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying. We can't guarantee that God's going to deliver us, but I love what it says there, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. Oh, but they're going to find freedom just the same. You know, I often think of Peter, James, and John, and just shared some words from Peter. And John wrote the gospel, he wrote the book of Revelation. James never got a chance to write a book because he died young. He was martyred very early on. John lived perhaps even to 100 years of age and served Jesus till the end. But you know what? They both gave it all for Christ. They both gave everything that they had. Can we really think that we should offer anything less than all to the one who's done everything for us? Back to Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious. Remember, sometimes he's reasonable, not so much here. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Obedience and faithfulness enrages darkness. The darkness hates the light. It doesn't understand it, it doesn't comprehend it, but it does not overcome the light. You know, I would think that in the last days, and we are in the last days according to Scripture, but as we move closer to the return of Christ, I think the fires just very likely might get hotter because the time is running short for evil. Evil will come to an end. Think about that. What a glorious anticipation that is. At this point, we realize that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they passed the test, but now they're going to be thrown in the fire. The question was, would they survive? They had no presumption. They didn't say, God, either you do this, or no. They didn't rail against God. Skip ahead a few verses. Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "look, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god or a son of the gods." Well, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure out what's going on here. The results, they were walking more closely with the Lord than they ever had before. God gave them grace in that fiery furnace. What's your fiery furnace, friend? What is it? Jesus wants to come alongside you right at that point. Whatever it is, grace for the season of testing. Don't look at somebody else and say, that's unfair what God allowed them to go through. God will give them grace and they can receive it. But I've seen foolish people grow bitter over things that happened to other people. I remember when I went through a season where I was very ill with malaria, lost a lot of weight, easily could have died. Some of you have heard me talk about it. I will never forget how close the Lord was to me when I walked through that. Never forget that. And some people have said it's terrible that you had to. I remember that season fondly. I know that's hard to explain. But fire purifies. It also says that the only thing that burned away were the ropes that bound them. Through the testings, the trials, your fiery furnace, Jesus wants to walk closely with you, and he wants to give you freedom. It said in Hebrews that certain people, they wouldn't compromise to be set free. But in the midst of the trials that we walk through, God wants to bring us into a place of spiritual freedom. He wants to give us victory over habits, over all sorts of different things. That is why God allows the testing of our faith. Unbound spiritual freedom. So the world offers stuff galore. It offers entanglements. And the Lord offers us, through the worst seasons of our lives, he offers to walk through it with us, to reveal himself to us, and to give us a freedom we would have no other way. I wonder how many people have heard this message today. They'd say, you know, maybe it's not the fiery furnace. Maybe it's not life and death. But the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, and you've been resisting God in some way, shape, or form. And right now, you recognize that Jesus wants to walk with you in this season that you're going through. What's your furnace? Jesus wants to be close to you. He wants you to be unbound. How sufficient was God's grace? I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. It really is. Chapter 3, verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Why do I love that? They had to be invited to come out of the fire. That you'd think they would have been like, "Hoo-hoo, it's hot in here, let's get out of here. Give me some water, I'd like some lemonade, an ice-cold Coke, something." No. But when the king said, "Come out," they didn't say, "No, we want to," I mean, they probably were like, "We want to hang out with Jesus a little longer." Think about that. Love that verse. The Lord is testing your faith to strengthen you. And did you catch that? That all these weasels that wanted them in there, oh, they all came down there to, don't even smell like smoke. For some of you today, you think, what does it matter what I do? What does it matter if I'm faithful to the Lord? No one's watching me. Believe me, there are people who are observing your life. They are paying attention. They might not say it. They might not run up to your side. Every once in a while, I'll find out a decade or two later, someone will say, yeah, I was watching. I was watching. A couple more verses to share with you from the New Covenant. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who refers to himself as a bondservant, instead of saying, hey, I'm the half-brother of Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Isn't that our story? That it's through the difficulties we go through, that is how our faith is strengthened. And then Peter, again, in 1 Peter, now this time chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you're done with sin. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You don't live anymore just to please yourself. You live for the King. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they want rewards? Is that why they did what they did? No. That was the last thing that they were thinking of is, wow, we're going to get some prizes out of this. But obedience and honoring God, the result is, ultimately, there's honor. And that's what Peter had said earlier in his letter. And here in chapter 3, verse 28, we read this. Then Nebuchadnezzar says, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's not converted yet. And he's going to go through some more trials, and we're going to find out about them. But eventually, he's going to come around, and God is trying to get his attention. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command, and they were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree: if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. Once again, evil came. What they intended for evil, God turned it into good. He strengthened their faith. He strengthened their character. What's your fire? Receive the grace of God. Allow Jesus to walk with you. Father, for every person who's heard this, wherever, whenever, I know that you want to speak a word of encouragement for the difficulty that so many are going through. Minister in a powerful way by your Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name for his kingdom's sake. Amen.
Take these hands. Lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. See, I have nothing without you. Take my voice and pour it out. Let it sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I have nothing without you. All my soul needs is all. Build it up. May it be broken as an offering of love.
cover me, so all the world will see that I have nothing without you. And all my soul needs is all your love to cover me, so all the world will see that I have nothing without you. Take my time here on this earth and let it glorify all that you are worth. For I am nothing, I am nothing without you.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope you can join us in person sometime soon. Love seeing you. Love your comments there too. I don't really see them on YouTube, but on Facebook. Love it when you comment or just leave some fingerprint that you were there. Or sometimes you shoot me a text or something like that. I always appreciate it. God bless you. Have a great week.